Today we'll look at a conspiracy theory about daylight savings time. We'll review a book called Seize the Daylight by David Prerow, who takes us through the history of this practice going back to the Roman Empire. We'll talk about shaming night owls, the lies of saving energy, selfish lobbying from farmers, golfers, and insect nerds, Coldplay's Chris Martin's involvement in all this, climate change, and what's really going on, corporations of propaganda controlling us, fulfilling the satanic beliefs of Saturn. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. I've been researching the occult conspiracies full-time since 2011. If you hate changing clocks every 6 months like I do and losing daylight, join me on this episode of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, I'm excited to do this episode. I actually was trying to make this happen back when we changed the clocks in the spring. I didn't quite get it done in time. And now let's look at us doing it again. Hamsters on the wheel. Hamsters on the wheel. What's that Twin Peaks Dr. Amp? What does he say? The F's are at it again. That's right. The F's are at it again every 6 months. Shout out to, I got this idea. One of my friends, and I give them aliases. I've got an alias. They get an alias. I call him Crypto Ken. All right. Crypto Ken. I had dinner with Crypto Ken, and I like to pick brains of people who are, full on normies. Right. And Crypto Ken said, man, you know what really bugs me? You know what I think there's a conspiracy about? Daylight savings time. I said, you know what? You're a genius. That's a great idea. So I bought a book, and I've got a conspiracy for you. You're going to love it. Let's first start at what is it, okay? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to go to Wikipedia. It says, the practice of advancing clocks to make better use of the longer daylight available during summer, so that darkness falls at a later clock time. All right, that's fair. It says, only a minority of the world's population uses daylight savings time. Isn't that interesting? Some countries observe it only in some regions. For example, it is observed only by some Australian states, depending on the latitude, and by all states in the United States except for Hawaii and Arizona. Now, I love America. I'm a patriot. God bless America. All that nonsense. But we are a very corporate lobbyist propagandized culture. All right? That's a fact. And I'm not one of those guys who's like, oh, let's burn this whole country to the ground and start it over from scratch. No. This is a pretty good system we got going. We just need to call out the BS when we see it, which is what I'm going to do today. So I bought a book called Seize the Daylight by David Prerow, and he tells us all about it, okay? He tells us that Ben Franklin conceived it, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle endorsed it, and Winston Churchill campaigned for it. Kaiser Wilhelm employed it. President Wilson and Roosevelt went to war with it, and the U.S. fought an energy crisis with it. So those are all the sort of ideas that, man, maybe people are using this to their advantage. Is it good for us? I don't know. By the end of this, I'll have my conclusion where I will convince you. If you already hate it, you're going to hate it even more. How did we get here? Well, you got to go back into history. And the short version is it's a mixture of practicality and selfishness. Selfish nerds. I always say the nerds are going to kill us. And today, the nerds are going to make our lives a little more miserable, and then they're going to kill us. That's the theme for today. You got to go back to the Roman Empire. They apparently observed a derivation of this. They used to keep time based on these water clocks, and they changed that for every month of the year. All right. Don't ask me how. It doesn't matter. Actually, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I read this book like 7 months ago. I don't remember a lot about it. Thank God I typed up a ton of notes. Otherwise, I could probably tell you more about that. I don't remember it, though. Now, if you go to Wikipedia, we talked about Ben Franklin a second ago, one of the founding fathers. Also a member of the Hellfire Club, doing satanic, sexy times in a cave underneath a church with Francis Dashwood and all these other elites. Eyes wide shut, you know the whole deal. Wikipedia says that in 1784, Ben Franklin suggested that if Parisians, because look, he was like a dual citizen of Paris, France, he was French, and American, something like that. Don't quote me, I didn't watch the whole Ken Burns documentary about him, so I don't know all the details. Said that he suggested that if Parisians could only wake up earlier in the summer, they would economize on candle and oil usage. But he did not propose changing the clocks. He's the one who made a famous statement, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, this is some corporate propaganda, all right? This is capitalism. This is the elites keeping the slaves on the hamster wheel. No, you got it. You got to get up. Get to work. Get to work for who, right? And you know my, and you probably know my stance, right? I'm pretty much a capitalist, but I want an honest, transparent capitalism, okay? I don't think communism's the way out. I definitely don't think fascism's the way out. I think a restrained capitalism is the kind of right path. But yeah, look at the way they shame night owls as if they're lazy. Right, everyone's got different circadian rhythms, and, you know, I'm kind of a mid-morning person. Like, left to my own devices, I would like to say I'd love to go to sleep around 1 and get up around 9. That would be ideal for me. Now, working a dreaded day job, I do not do that. I got to go to bed earlier than I want and get up way earlier than I want. Miss Josie Weishaupt over there on Breaking Social Norms, she is... That's a night owl right there. I mean, she'll be up till damn 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know how she does it. After 11 or midnight, I'm like, I'm getting tired. But, you know, we all have different circadian rhythms for whatever reason. Now, he jokingly, quote unquote, Ben Franklin jokingly proposed to tax window shutters to force people to wake up earlier. And that's one of the roots of this whole thing is shame of laziness being associated with getting up early. You've seen the jokes about how dads on vacation always get up real early and like, oh, I'm glad you got up finally. And like, it's because they're drilled into this gerbil on the hamster wheel of capitalism thing. Very Edward Bernaysian propaganda at play here. Back in the day, back in the 1700s, like... They didn't really have strict time schedules, turns out. Nowhere near like it is today. Like, everything today is synced up. Everyone's got the same time on their little phone watch or whatever. And it wasn't until communication through electricity and railroads, transportation, that kind of forced us all to get in sync, right? Makes sense. In 1895... New Zealand entomologist and astronomer George Hudson made the first realistic proposal to change clocks by 2 hours every spring to the Wellington Philosophical Society, but this was not implemented until 1928 in another form. In 1907, William Willett proposed the adoption of British summertime as a way to save energy, but although seriously considered by Parliament, it was not implemented until 1916. So you can see... These are actually very difficult sales pitches. It's propaganda that has to actually sell it. So I'm sure the way this worked out, these people proposed it to their governments. The people in the government were like, are you crazy? Why are we going to make people do this? But then every year they chipped away at it. He got his lobbyist in there. Maybe he got a little blackmail of some sexy time parties with the politicians. You don't think William Willett might have had... I don't know who. Winston Churchill come down to the Sexy Time Hellfire Club and make sexy time with inappropriate people? And he's like, hey, William, what about that British summertime BS? And they're probably like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Says that William Willett came up with this idea after riding his horse in the woods near his home early one summer morning and noticing how many blinds were still down. And the idea of daylight saving time first occurred to him. So he's out living his best life, exercising, whatever that is. And he's like, look at all these sleepy, lazy jerks. I think we should change the time. I'm going to read you from the book. It says, listen to how he comes to this terrible conclusion. Quote, typically, he saw no one in the early morning light of spring and summer, except for the occasional postman, milkman, chimney sweep, or laborer, and the shutters and blinds of the houses he passed were all closed tightly to keep out the sun. Willett found it hard to understand why his countrymen were wasting the best part of a summer day. Could Englishmen, he wondered, ever be convinced to wake up earlier? So basically, Willett was one of these awful red pill alpha bros who's like, you know what you got to do? You got to get up at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning, we're going to do a ice bath meditation. And we're going to read 10 audiobooks on the treadmill. I'm going to be done with all that before you're even getting out of bed. Which is all, like, what do you call it? Dog whistle? Is that what it's called? Yeah. It's all dog whistling to imply that you're lazy. Like, bro, there's only so many hours in a day. You know, because I used to work, I worked a lot of blue-collar jobs. As you know, if you listen to my Who is Isaac Weishaupt 3-hour show. And one of the places I worked, you know, when you work that blue-collar maintenance life, you work a lot of overtime, if it's available to you, right? Because that's how you make all your money. And I would sign up for the overtime, and these maniacs I worked with would, like, if you worked overtime on Saturday, they would start at 4 in the morning. And I was a young man, and I could do it. But I was like, why are we doing this? 4 in the morning till noon? They're like, yep, you got a full shift in, and you got the whole day left. Which is absolute insanity. Because you know what happens if you work 4 a.m. to noon on Saturday, Friday night's effed in the A, because it's 6 p.m., I got to go to bed. And you get off work at noon, and you're absolutely exhausted. So Saturday shot too. Idiots. Absolute idiocy. Anyway, let's listen to what William Willett's real intentions are, because that's what we're talking about here. He was actually selfish. He was an avid golfer, and this is a quote from the book. Maybe this is Wikipedia. It could be the book or Wikipedia. I don't know. Like I said, I read this book a long time ago, so my notes could be a little better. He was an avid golfer who disliked cutting short his round at dusk. His solution was to advance the clock during the summer, and he published the proposal 2 years later. And he kept lobbying for this to become law. He ended up dying in 1950, thank God. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he's a great guy. They didn't actually make it a law till the year after he died. So he's a golf nerd, right? I got friends that are golf nerds. They can't stop golfing. They love it. I got friends that are fish nerds. Can't stop fishing. They love it. I got friends that are football nerds. Can't stop watching it. They love it. I'm a football nerd now, so I can say that. But my point is like, you want the whole society to change so you can get an extra round of golf? Really? Is that what we're doing? Now, here's something that I tease you with the Coldplay thing at the beginning. And you're probably like, Coldplay? What the hell's he got to do with it? Well, the singer Chris Martin from Coldplay. And you know I don't like Coldplay. I got beef with Coldplay. I always dislike Chris Martin. I don't know why. I just don't like him. No reason at all. I don't like him. Well, guess who his great-great-grandfather is? You already know where we're going. It's William Willett. That's right. This golf nerd who changed all of society, who makes us change our clocks every 6 months. Blame Coldplay. Boycott Coldplay. That's what I say. Now, the first implementation of daylight savings time was actually by... what does this say? I don't understand. Port Arthur, which is merged into Thunder Bay, basically Ontario, Canada. Okay. In 1908. So we went from being over in the UK, now we're in the North America, but we're in Canada. Canada did it before the UK. And it was done only locally, not nationally. It says the first nationwide implementations were by the German and Austro-Hungarian empires, starting in 1916. This is from Wikipedia. Since then, many countries have adopted daylight saving times at various times, particularly since the 70s energy crisis. If you look through the details here, a man named George Hudson, he was an entomologist credited with proposing daylight savings time in America. Is it America? I guess so. Or maybe it's Germany. It doesn't matter. This guy worked a second shift job so that he could collect insects during the day. And because of this, he was like, I love these bugs. I'm an insect nerd. I need all the insects I can get. So he wanted extra daylight time to collect bugs after work hours. So he wrote a whole ass paper in 1895 proposing this 2-hour time shift. And this idea caught on. And this is what rolled into the 1907 British summertime stuff to save energy. So I guess you got a couple different... I'm trying to look at my notes here. I guess William Willett was the one that pushed forward the ideas of the bug nerd. All right? So went bug nerd, Coldplay, and the UK gets daylight savings time. Now, the first time that this was implemented nationwide in Germany was in 1916 during the First World War because they were trying to save coal, meaning like less coal needed for heat and electricity and such. So that kind of makes sense. But let's talk about America because that's what really matters here, folks. In the USA, we did it with for the first time with the Standard Time Act in 1918. And it was a wartime measure for 7 months only during World War I in the interest of adding more daylight hours to conserve energy resources. Okay. Same kind of vibe. Then they had this thing called year-round daylight savings time or wartime implemented during World War II. So now you're in like the 1940s. Now, after that war, local jurisdictions were free to choose if and when to observe daylight savings time until 1966, at which time they passed the Uniform Time Act, which standardized daylight savings time. And it wasn't until 1974 that permanent daylight savings time was enacted. All right. So like anything else, totalitarian tiptoe, you get a little bit like, oh, let's just do it for a little war savings or whatever. Oh, we're going to do a little bit more here, a little bit more there, and boom, next thing you know, it's permanent. 1974, permanent. And even back then, there was people complaining of it. They were complaining that the children were going to school in the dark. You know, a lot of kids are walking. Working people were commuting and starting their day in pitch black in the winter. People complained about it. And they repealed it a year later. Now, the claims are, like, what is this? Like, if you start looking into daylight savings, you're going to hear lots of different claims from different people. And the argument is that, well, you know, people who work 9 to 5, they want more daylight hours after they get off work. And I don't know if that's necessary. I think that's propaganda because back in the 70s when they did this, the people working were like, this is BS. I go to work, it's dark. I get off, it's dark. All right. Then they say, well, in the summer you get hooked up. So what happens in the winter? You just no daylight at all. And who's doing the stuff outside the winter anyways? But notice how they're not advocating for a shorter work day in the summer. They just want us up earlier by moving the clock. Because that's an alternative too. It's like, hey, let's just work less hours. No one's campaigning for that. Especially now that we've got technological innovations and AI and stuff. In theory, our lives are supposed to be easier with technology, but that's not what's happening. What's happening is the elites are cashing in on this and making our lives worse. Then you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, it's for farmers. Right. Farmers. No, fake news. Farmers are some of the biggest lobbyists. Big farming, not big pharma, but big farming is some of the biggest lobbyists there are. And their work actually does have to do with tracking the sun, right? So they work based on the position of the sun because of like morning dew, right? Like they can't collect grass until all that morning dew is gone. And the animals, they track the sun. They don't track clocks. They don't know what time it is. So moving the clock actually adds problems to their work. So it ain't the farmers. And then some people will claim like, oh, you know, moving the clocks actually decreases car accident. No. Research shows, if you go to Charbonnet Law Firm, it says research shows that the spring transition to daylight saving time increases the average rate of fatal automobile accidents by 6% nationwide due to 1 hour loss of sleep. This sleep deprivation contributes to delayed reaction times, poor attention, and unsafe judgment calls among drivers. And then I went to Science Daily, and it says a study of 732,000 accidents over two decades has found that the annual switch to daylight savings time is associated with a 6% increase in fatal car crashes. So, I mean, that's two decades of research, hundreds of thousands of accidents. So you would think that our, people would be like, man, this is bad news. We shouldn't do this anymore. But we're not. Why? Some people, again, back to the energy. This is going to help with climate change and air pollution because it saves energy. Because there's less need for lighting and heating and all this. And look, I don't know how 1 hour shift is going to change any of that. I really don't. And if you go to the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER.org, it says our main finding is that contrary to the policy's intent, daylight savings time increases residential electricity demand. Estimates of the overall increase are approximately 1%, but we find that the effect is not constant throughout the entire daylight savings period. Nonetheless, more energy use. So you're not saving energy, so that belief's out the window. People thought that we're healthier with daylight savings time because you're getting more sunshine, right? Which is true, right? More, vitamin D and all that. Back when they were first talking about this in the 1800s, they were talking about, there's going to be less rickets and anemia and all this stuff, right? But David Prerow's book talked about it all, right? And I'm going to read you. It says, there are measurable adverse effects of clock shifts on human health. It has been shown to disrupt human circadian rhythms, negatively affecting human health in the process, and that yearly daylight savings time clock shifts can increase health risks such as heart attacks and traffic accidents, as we previously mentioned. A 2017 study in the American Economic Journal estimated that the transition into daylight savings time caused over 30 deaths at a social cost of $275 million annually, primarily by increasing sleep deprivation. If you want more on the health, I went to the Mayo Clinic. It says researchers have found 74,722 adverse cardiovascular events occurred throughout the study during the spring and fall daylight savings time transition. An adverse cardiovascular event was documented when a person was hospitalized with a primary diagnosis of a heart attack, stroke, cardiogenic shock, or cardiac arrest. In the Mayo Clinic study, the Monday and Friday following the spring daylight savings time transition showed a statistically slight increase in the rates of cardiovascular events. Yada, yada, yada. Research notes that the time change practice was intended to align social and work activities with daylight hours and to conserve energy using less artificial lighting. They underscore that making changes to the daylight savings system is out of concern for heart health and it's unnecessary. So what are we left with? Why are we doing it? In conclusion, we're already at the conclusion. Short show for you guys. In conclusion, in my opinion, it's like everything else. This is propaganda run by the corporate lobbyists in bed with the politicians, who do the bidding of the corporate lobbyists and money instead of what the people want. Constantly, constantly, you see people begging politicians, we got to change this, get rid of this daylight savings time. And they never do. You would think that a politician would be like, this is a clear winner. Everybody wants this. I'm getting rid of it. And they never do. Why is that? Isn't that something? Well, David Prerow has examples of how corporations and businesses love daylight savings time, if you're not convinced yet. I'm going to read you from his book. Several representatives of railroad companies endorsed the bill, anticipating an increase in passenger traffic and a decrease in lighting costs for their carriages and stations. Later on, a few Americans fastened upon the idea. E.H. Murdoch, a prominent businessman in Cincinnati, Ohio, president of the Queen City Printing Ink Company, was active in civic and charitable affairs. Murdoch had learned of Willett, oh, that damn Willett, Coldplay's grandfather. Murdoch had learned of Willett's concept on a trip to England and grown quite excited about it. Upon his return, he enthusiastically spread the word about daylight savings time and was able to arouse considerable public interest among his fellow Cincinnatians. Under Murdoch's leadership, local daylight savings time adherents banded together to form the National Daylight Association of Cincinnati, the first daylight saving time advocacy group in the U.S. The group's goal was the saving of 1 hour of daylight each day for the five summer months, May 1st to October 1st of each year, to all the people of the United States. Now, this group would go on to lobby President Taft. Then they were able to get a congressman in Massachusetts to write up a bill for this. Detroit has a similar group called the More Daylight Club trying to push it too. But guess who shot it down? The unions. Their movement persevered in the face of the opposition of the press, the Board of Commerce, organized labor, and every organization. Now, to be fair, later on, the unions did get on board with this. Then we go to Boston, similar thing. Meanwhile, in Boston, department store magnate A. Lincoln Feline became a third leading proponent of daylight savings time in America. Feline, together with his brother Edward, had built William Feline's son's company into a major Boston department store with a number of branches. Feline became interested in the potential benefits of daylight savings time and convinced the Boston Chamber of Commerce to set up a special committee on daylight savings time, which he served as the chairman. The fix is in. The call has come from inside the House. Over in New Jersey, similar story. Providing the businessman's point of view, Sidney Colgate, president of Colgate & Company of Jersey City, New Jersey, testified about the effects his soap, toothpaste, and perfume manufacturing company had already experienced with a change in the hours of daylight. Who are we protesting? Coldplay? Big Toothpaste? Colgate? Department stores? And then listen to this BS. This is the New Jersey Colgate guy. That fall, he recalled pointing out to one department head that he had not yet had a vacation, to which the man replied, "I do not feel as if I need any vacation. Every day during the summer was a short vacation, and I've never been in better health." And as a result of the program, Colgate found that company employees worked with much more snapping energy. These are all lies. Let's see. Then what do we got more? But here's where the big fast food companies get in on it. Then in 1984, the business community got involved, led by lobbyist James Benfield. A group calling itself the Daylight Savings Time Coalition was formed and backed by businesses and industry associations that stood to gain from additional daylight savings time. A leading member of the coalition was the Southland Corporations, parent company of the nation's 7-Eleven convenience stores. Southland felt that women were reluctant to approach their stores after dark, fearing undesirables lurking in the shadows. Fast food companies such as McDonald's echoed this concern and also believed that more time for outdoor recreation would mean more softball players stopping in for a hamburger rather than cooking for themselves. A study by the Hardee's fast food chain estimated that extending daylight savings time would increase sales by $880 per week per store. Makers of barbecue grills and charcoal briquettes were also part of this coalition. More daylight would translate into more business. The same went for the Sporting Goods Manufacturers Association, which foresaw increased demand for softball, tennis, and golf equipment. Nursery owners wanted an extra hour of daylight in March and April to encourage gardeners to get an early start on spring planting. And more daylight would increase attendance at the establishments of the 1,700 members of the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. As these and other businesses and industry groups joined the Daylight Savings Time Coalition, it grew to represent more than 8,000 companies with annual sales of over $100 billion. From a political standpoint, at least some of these companies were represented in virtually every congressional district. So there you go. It's corporate lobbyists. Getting in bed with the politicians in your congressional district, trying to churn out a little extra profit by making you change your clock every 6 months. You lose sleep every 6 months. Car accidents, health problems, none of that matters. And many had an indirect effect. Increased sales at McDonald's, for example, led to greater demand for Kansas beef and Idaho potatoes. Candy manufacturers joined the Daylight Savings Time Coalition with the very specific goal of extending daylight savings time to include Halloween. You notice that? It's right after Halloween. Many young trick-or-treaters gathering candy are not allowed after dark. And an added hour of light could mean a big holiday treat for the candy industry. And at least one group in the coalition was not motivated by money. The Retinitis Pigmentosa Foundation Fighting Blindness, which represented the 500,000 Americans who suffered from night blindness because of retinitis pigmentosa and other eye diseases. The extra hour of daylight enables us to enjoy seeing for 60 minutes longer, explained Mindy Berman. Now that's the one and only one that I support. Okay, at least that's something, right? I want people's lives to do better. You could argue that it makes your life better. I support that. If you argue that, oh, this is able to sell more beef McBurger patties, I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care. So there you go. It all goes back to coalitions, which AKA lobbyists for corporate America. That's the reason we change the clocks. That's the reason it'll never change. That's the reason why your local politician won't allow it to go through. And golf. And insect nerds. Coldplay. And you can toss in the Freemasons, right? Because golf came from Scotland, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, all that stuff. Two-ball cane, you know the whole deal. If you don't know the whole deal, sign into my podcast. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and if you look through the, I got links to an index of every episode, and you can do a little Control-F search on the page, and you can find all these topics. I've done shows since 2014, hundreds and hundreds, millions of downloads. And what we're getting at is Saturn. That's right. It's an occult concept. Saturn, the adversarial planet, represents Satan or Set in Egyptian mythology. But it's all about killing us. It's about sacrificing us to Father Time, right? The clock, Kronos, controls us. Saturn is the god of measurements and constraints. And it's all for economic activity. It's all for money in the corporate world, right? Money is the great alchemy. The great alchemy of resources. And this shows how much it controls our life. That literally can kill us with the daylight savings time. Blood sacrifices for time and measurements and constraints. And I want to get rid of it, right? If nothing else, because I don't like changing the clocks every 6 months. Total pain in the butt. Including the one in the, you got to change your car clock, and who remembers how to do that? You got to look up the YouTubes and manuals. Like, what the hell? Every 6 months, how did I do that again? So there you go. That's my hot take on it, based upon a lot of research, a whole book about it. And I think it goes, Illuminate confirm. These corporate lobbyists have created this nonsense for bug nerds and golf nerds. And the reason why it'll never go away is because of corporate lobbyists calling your politician. Your politician is going to be like, you know what? The people want to get rid of this. I'm gonna start a little bill for it. And then he or she gets a little phone call. Hey, buddy, this is the Daylight Savings Coalition, meaning all the businesses in your jurisdiction there. We advise you heavily to not do that. Oh, okay, my bad. And that's the way it goes. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed the Daylight Savings Conspiracy. Turns out it's an age-old conspiracy. It's about money. I hope you enjoy the show. If you want to support the show, I've got a couple ways you can do that. You could sign up at one of the supporter feeds, go ad-free, unlock hundreds of bonus episodes. You know the whole deal with that. Links are always in the show notes. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. That's where you got to go. Sign up. Check it out. The other way, 5-star review. I need more 5-star reviews. I got 1-star haters. They listen to 30 minutes of one episode and they want to light it up. I don't know why. So to counter that, I need you to drop a 5-star if you like this show. Okay? That's free. And I appreciate it. And until next time, stay positive.